Blog Talk Radio.
Proudly brings to you the best wrestling talk show in the world, the K-Dog, Ken Reedy, Diamond Dave Rosenbluth. This is the Ken Reedy Show.
And if you're looking for the best in pro wrestling talk, it's like money in the bank. And if you're not down with that, I only got two words for you.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. You've tuned in to the best in pro wrestling talk. This is the Ken Reedy Show. Give us a call, 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Go right now to the website, thekenreedyshow.com. We got a survey going. We're going to talk about that a little later. But who is going to win the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank match? That's on thekenreedyshow.com. Go check out the survey. We're going to relay that a little later on. I am your host, Ken Reedy. As always, my tag team partner, Dave. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, my friend. Tag me in. Let's go.
Let's do it. And to give us a historical perspective and a little about it, we have a special guest, the guru of professional wrestling. We'll be giving his two cents every now and again. Guru, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How's everyone doing this evening?
We are doing super fantastic. Great to talk about all that's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And I'm burning on a little bit of stuff tonight. And we got to talk about this because right now, in the world of professional wrestling, and call in if you disagree, but TNA is putting out a superior product to the WWE right now. Bar none. I mean, when I think about what I saw this week in pro wrestling, and I watch all the shows, and I think about, I turn on TNA, turn on Impact, and what do I get to start Impact? I get a hardcore match between Bully Ray and Joseph Park, a.k.a., we think, Abyss. We get Tax. We get kendo sticks. We get some blood. To open up the match, as a wrestling fan, grabs me by the cojones, brings me in for the ride. I look at the beginning of Monday Night Raw, and I get a 20-minute dual marriage proposal. 20 minutes? Geez, that makes me look really forward to three-hour Raws coming up in the not-too-distant future. And SmackDown gives us the world's largest fist pump. Thank you, WWE. Going further in programming, we find out, while we see Santino putting on his Sherlock Holmes hat, that he's investigating who has been anonymous GM for all this time. And after the long period of time of us having to put up with that godforsaken noise and that laptop, and Michael Cole, who, by the way, great, we get to see Michael Cole versus King Lawler again. That was awesome. But the payoff to the storyline is that Hornswoggle has been the anonymous GM all this time. Hornswoggle, which is amazing because the guy just got the gift of speech this past Christmas. Really? Is that what you're giving us? The only aspect, I will say this. I thought Sheamus Del Rio was a good match. But the only thing that put the pay-per-view over for me was actually John Cena. John Cena gave a good promo talking about his Money in the Bank ladder match. The first time he's going to be in a Money in the Bank ladder match, puts over the pay-per-view, puts over that match. Dave, I mean, really, did WWE do a good job putting over this pay-per-view?
Yes and no in some aspects. I mean, you brought Sheamus and Del Rio up. A lot of wrestling fans nowadays, they don't like the over-the-top theatrics with the storylines. Something similar with this whole AJ love triangle with her, CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan, especially the guys, the Ring of Honor marks that listen to, you know, that watch the WWE and have watched CM Punk and Daniel Bryan in the past. They're not huge fans of storylines like this because they think that they're more capable of something better than that. As far as Sheamus and Del Rio goes, it's not been like out of this world, like I'm clamoring to see this match, but at the same time, it's not over-the-top theatrics like most wrestling fans want. So if they're going to complain, you know, if a lot of wrestling fans are going to complain and say, oh, well, this is not interesting, I'm not interested in seeing Sheamus and Del Rio compete at the pay-per-view, but they're also the same people that are going to complain if they put Sheamus, Del Rio, and Ricardo Rodriguez in a goddamn love triangle. You know what I mean? So, it's simple and effective. And I think what they're really trying to go here with two things. They want to make Sheamus a credible champion to move him further up the card. And they also want to make Del Rio more aggressive. There's talks of giving him a larger push as time goes on. So, I'm interested in seeing how the match goes and where it's going to go, and especially being Money in the Bank, there's a lot of implications with the championship matches as well as the ladder matches too. Cena did a great job hyping up the fact that it was his first Money in the Bank. I didn't care for the marriage proposal stuff. I'll agree with you there, and I do agree the Joseph Park Bully Ray match was a good way to open up Impact. I think TNA has been better as of late with their product. Number one being live, of course, we can beat that horse to death, but being live has really helped them. It's given the crowd and the Impact Zone an energy. And the other thing, too, is fresh storylines with guys, mixing and matching certain guys up. You know, Sting's not at the top of the food chain as far as, you know, being in the top storyline. It's Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, which is great. You know, Bully Ray's got a good role on the show with this Joseph Park storyline he's got going on. And, you know, the AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels stuff has been solid. You know, it was a good build-up. The payoff in the beginning wasn't great. It's still kind of intriguing enough where you want to see where it's going to go. It's not totally jump the shark. So, overall, it's been good for them so far. In my opinion, I do agree, it has been better than WWE, but not so far superior. WWE's not doing – they're not terrible, but it's not great either.
I got to disagree. I thought Raw was awful. I thought Raw was terrible this week. We've been trying to at the Ken Reedy Show. We have a Raw night going on now at the Pepper South in Congress, New York. We're trying to get people come on down, watch Raw. We got a group coming down with 1,000th Raw. So it's been fun. And, you know, getting, like, new fans or people who used to watch wrestling, into it. There are people that came into the Peppermill this past Monday, and they are watching Raw, and they're sitting there like, and they were big fans back in the day. They were big Rock fans, you know, that came up. Love the Attitude Era, love DX, and they're watching it, and they're looking at it like, seriously, is this is what's on wrestling now? And I couldn't defend it. That was the problem. I couldn't. Usually, when I talk to haters, I can defend. You know, what goes on in wrestling. I can defend, you know, we've even talked here, you know, a lot of people hate on Cena. We've defended him. I couldn't defend Raw this week. And, you know, we can talk later about the 3-hour Raw, but, you know, what I've seen at a WWE programming, 3 hours is, you know, I don't know. Guru, what are your thoughts?
You know, that got me thinking, you know, Ken, talking about how you've been disappointed in Raw and how, you know, people who are a little older who used to be in wrestling maybe find it really, I don't know, hokey or boring. And the one thing that I've noticed since the WWE has went public And they changed just, you know, internally a lot of things. I mean, there's no blood anymore. Am I correct? That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
There's more blood. And it seems like they're really marketing more for the younger kids. So could it be that, you know, their market now is just a much younger market, and they want things to be a little, you know, hokier, for lack of a better word.
It's hokier, but it's also just bad. I mean, you know, I get it being hokier and more kid-friendly, and we've debated, you know, a few times about the PG rating. But like you said, I mean, I get the whole AJ and the love triangle thing, but 20 minutes? 20 minutes to start Raw? I mean, I kept looking at my phone, because no one watches anymore. Because I'm looking at my watch, but I was looking at my phone like, we're 20 minutes into Monday Night Raw. And we have a promo going, and it was just bad. And you have three people that, look, I'm not saying that anyone in the ring, none of them are going to, like, compete against Ric Flair or Dusty Rhodes for the moniker of best on the mic. But, you know, they're all people that actually aren't bad on the microphone. 20 minutes, it was just like watching paint dry. And I found this week that I did not think the WWE did the best job at getting you psyched for this pay-per-view. Now, Money in the Bank has become one of those pay-per-views. It's almost like the Royal Rumble. The Money in the Bank ladder matches are exciting. It's tough to make a bad ladder match. They're generally going to be an exciting match. So I do find that it is one of those pay-per-views that it's slowly but surely kind of creeping up to being that pay-per-view that kind of sells itself. The Royal Rumble could have a weak lead-in. People are still going to want to see the Royal Rumble. It is one of those pay-per-views, to me, more than WrestleMania. The lead-in doesn't mean really anything for the Rumble. People want to see the Rumble match. I kind of find that is Money in the Bank is moving towards that direction, that people just want to see that match. However, a little bit different this year, you know, they have the two ladder matches. And as we said, John Cena in his first ever Money in the Bank ladder match, an interesting ladder match with a John Cena, Big Show, Kane, and Chris Jericho. Only four guys as of right now scheduled to be in this match. Three quarters of this match, not your typical ladder type guys. So as much as you look forward to ladder matches, this is interesting. I'm almost looking forward to this match as kind of a train wreck.
I even wonder if, seriously, can the Big Show climb up a ladder?
I'm assuming they'll have one of those big reinforced ladders again, just for the Big Show. I mean, he's been in it before, but he's not your typical ladder guy. Dave, I mean, what are you expecting to see out of this match?
Well, you know what? I don't know what to expect to see, because on paper, you know, with just these four guys, it doesn't – I mean, it's intriguing enough where it's seen this first, you know, Money in the Bank match, and they're hyping it up. And, you know, Jericho's really the only ladder guy that his style fits.
Hold on a second, Dave. Not to touch off, but I just been handed something by my producer that it says here, actually, we will be having BWO heavyweight champion Tristan Lull will be calling in about a half hour to discuss his future plans, plans in the WO and the Dynasty of Destruction. Our producer has requested to keep it somewhat professional, so, Dave, we're going to ask you to bow out when the champ calls in.
Fine with me.
Thanks, Dave. Continue your points on Money in the Bank.
Okay, thank you. You know, Jericho's really the only ladder guy. Kane's been in a few of these matches, but he's pretty much the one that, you know, kind of catches the guys that take the falls. But what's interesting here is that, you know, this ladder match, for the first time in Money in the Bank history, is this particular Money in the Bank ladder match is only eligible to former WWE champions. Now, currently on the roster, there's a few former WWE champions. Number one, The Miz. It's been rumored as of 20 minutes ago that he is penciled in to be added to this match as a surprise entrant.
No!
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Oh, God, no! No, 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 no!
Could they bring Tony Garea out of retirement? And
I'd
maybe,
rather see him.
You know, honestly?
I don't know. Was Tony
Garea? Sorry, Dave. No! All right, go ahead.
Another participant that's rumored to be involved in this is Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio's been out for quite a while with an injury. He's a former WWE champion. Granted, his reign was short-lived, but he held the championship for a cup of coffee. And some other possibilities, too. Both participants in tonight's World Heavyweight Championship match, Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio, are former WWE champions. There's a strong possibility that the loser of that World Championship match will enter into the Money in the Bank match. That would leave it now at possibly seven guys. Another possibility, if this happens, which I don't think it will, but if CM Punk were to lose the WWE Championship tonight, he would also be eligible to enter the Money in the Bank ladder match. I think they set this up with just these four guys in a way so that when it comes time for the pay-per-view, there's that element of surprise, and you got, you know, you're sitting at home watching the pay-per-view, and you're only expecting the four guys, and all of a sudden, bam, The Miz shows up. Or bam, Alberto Del Rio enters because he's a former WWE champion. So I don't know what to expect from this match, but I think it will be interesting, and I think the outcome will be interesting. I mean, we've talked about, you know, how they've hyped up John Cena, this being his first Money in the Bank ladder match. I mean, the obvious goes that Cena is going to win the match, but, you know, everyone expects Cena to win the match and then cash in Money in the Bank and win it, but who knows? He could be the first guy to cash in the Money in the Bank contract and lose the championship match, which won't hurt his credibility or status whatsoever. So there's a lot of interesting different twists and possibilities as to where this match could go. I would not be surprised if this match were to go on either second to last or even the main event, depending on what they want to do with the potential Money in the Bank winner and, of course, the other championship match between CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I mean, the booking of this pay-per-view wound up being, like, something really important. I mean, you know, I tend to agree with it. I don't think Cena wins this. I think they – now, I shouldn't – you know, the WWE, I keep looking at – they're making it too obvious. The WWE, a lot of times they just go with the obvious. So, you know, that shouldn't be the case, but I think they've just been cramming it in our throat. I don't think Cena wins. I hope for Chris Jericho's sake, a guy like Rey Mysterio – does enter this match because, man, Jericho's going to be in charge of taking all the spots in this match. I worry for Jericho's safety. Part of the enticement of this match for me is the potential of it being a train wreck. I mean, I don't, you know, Cena a lot of times, for all the criticism he gets, you know, he rises to the occasion a lot. If he keeps it simple, you know, you can still, even though it's a ladder match, you don't have to do 70 flips off the top of the ladder. You can just be a brawler. You can, you know, be, you know, really violent with the ladder. So depending on what Cena tries to do in this match, I tend to think if I'm going to start predicting this match, and we can, you know, start predicting matches right now, why not? I don't think any of the guys in the match booked right now is going to win. I do agree with you. I think there's going to be a surprise entrant. If I, you know, was a fantasy booker, I wanted to, you know, throw something outlandish out there, I would love to see The Rock show up out of nowhere. He made mention of wanting the WWE title, wanting to have that around his waist one more time. However, I don't think one second the WWE would do a pay-per-view, have The Rock show up, without marketing him beforehand. They'd be using him for all he's worth to get more dollars for the pay-per-view. So I don't think that's going to happen, although I'd love to see it. I hate seeing this, but with the Marine, the Marine 3 starring The Miz. The fact that that's where he's been, the Marine 3. Can we just, can anyone really take that faux hawk loser seriously as, deep breath, settle down. I'd be surprised if The Miz.
The Marine movie is terrible enough.
What was that?
The fact that they had a Marine movie is terrible enough. I thought the first one was terrible. I didn't even bother watching the second one. And I certainly won't. Somebody's going to have to force me to watch the third one.
I liked the first one. The second one was awful. But that being said, it would not surprise me at all if The Miz winds up winning tonight. I hate to say it, but I don't think any four of those guys are going to win. I think it's going to be a surprise entrant. And depending on how this pay-per-view is booked, it would not surprise me at all if they keep this match for last, which with the WWE, as much as you think this pay-per-view, the championship match could be last. I mean, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, that's been the biggest story going right now in the WWE. And just, we got word breaking news, that match has been changed to a no DQ match. So Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, no DQ with AJ as referee. As much as if any pay-per-view set up for that to be the headliner, for that to be the featured bout, the WWE has shown its propensity to have John Cena in the main event at all times. So it would stand to reason to have the WWE Championship match second to last, and or beforehand, wherever it is, so you have it kind of open-ended, and maybe you have a CM Punk or a Del Rio, or a Sheamus, or whomever, jumping into that match. But if I'm going to predict, and it's an open-ended prediction, I'm going to say my prediction this match is the winner is not going to be one of the four that are booked for the match right now. Prediction, Dave?
You know, I like that prediction, and I'd like to go with it. I really would, but I'm hoping, I mean... I hope for that prediction. I hope it's somebody that returns and, you know, comes back and wins it, you know, for tonight. I really do. But, however, I'm going to go with my gut, and I'm going to go with John Cena. I think this has been – I think it would be interesting. I think it still would be interesting if he won it and cashed in and lost. And it will bring new life to the Money in the Bank concept. Because every briefcase holder, with the exception of Mr. Kennedy, Anderson, whatever you want to call him, Anderson, you know, didn't get the
Anderson.
Cash in. Yeah. Anderson. anyhow, Anderson. I think it would be much more interesting if they had, you know, Cena lose it. And it wouldn't knock him down a peg, per se, but it would bring life to that contract because everybody is cashed in and everybody's won. They've been hammering that home on television for the past few weeks, is that every guy has won, that's won the Money in the Bank, has cashed in. They've been guaranteed the champion. I mean, you know, this is all, like I said, also a rebuilding process for John Cena. I mean, they brought him in, you know, in towards WrestleMania and made him just about as equal as The Rock, and he lost the match. And then he's bounced back in some ways when he beat Lesnar, but then he lost to Laurinaitis, and then he beat Big Show. I mean, it's been an up-and-down year for Cena, but I think they want to rebuild him towards next year's WrestleMania, which there are rumors that he's going to face The Rock again. And by doing that, I think adding the Money in the Bank title to his resume would help. Even losing would help. Because then it would revitalize this character more. You know, they could really make something big out of it with him because obviously he's the focal point of the company. If he were to lose, and they could, you know, do all kinds of video packages and, you know, all kinds of stuff about it. So I'm going with John Cena.
Yeah, it's a good point because, you know, him, you know, and again, you wonder if things are being done on purpose, or you know, if they're just going to go with the obvious. I sincerely believe that at some point, to give this whole Money in the Bank thing a little more drama, someone has to cash in and lose. Can't have it 100% that every time someone wins the Money in the Bank, they're going to win the title. It just it doesn't mean anything. You know, you have a chance at winning the title. I agree with you. I think that would be a great move for John Cena, and it would be a great move kind of looking at the year that he's had. And even though he beat Brock Lesnar, they could do – I mean, and I will say this. With the WWE, and I've been critical, the WWE and their video packages are phenomenal. Raw and SmackDown could blow chunks. So it could be awful. And they'll put together a video package that makes you want to order the pay-per-view. With the music and the effects, the video department of the WWE, kudos to them, because they do a good video package. And I can almost see a package in my head of, you know, Cena getting pinned by The Rock and then being a bloody mess with Brock Lesnar and then losing, and he cashes in Money in the Bank. Just kind of this whole, like, you know, what kind of years is John Cena having? And in his promos, and I thought he's put on some pretty good promos, it being his first Money in the Bank ladder match. His promos to me have come off a bit presumptuous. A bit, you know, if I win this, it guarantees a championship. And he's really been kind of talking like it's just me. Almost like it's just a formality. As long as I win that briefcase, I'm going to have the strap. And I wonder, does that mean they're going to have John Cena, the focal point of the company, the baby face, the guy that they market everything through, is he going to be the first one to cash in and lose? And I agree with you. I think that gives depth to the character. You know, you want to root in traditional sense, come back, and the guru can attest to this, you know, your great baby faces, there has to be some tragedy, some
adversity.
Exactly. Something you got to battle through. John Cena, you know, to me, we've all, and I think the guru's in agreement, you know, we like John Cena. He's good. But the criticism of him, and I think some of it's well-founded, he doesn't have a lot of adversity. It seems like this guy has been handed the keys to the Rolls Royce, giving him a bad year, a solid bad year. You know, match of his life, he loses. Has a match with Brock, wins the match, but gets killed in the process. You know, not winning the title after winning Money in the Bank. This all could build this. Now he's the guy we want to root for. Now he's this guy who has been here for us, who is in there, you know, 365 days a year. He is going to be there come hell or high water, and we want to root for him now. We want him to go over. We want him to fight through this adversity. And, you know, I think a guy needs that. I mean, you're great faces. Isn't it Wrestling 101?
One thing they could do is bring back something tried and true. Have John Cena suffer an injury, a very serious, you know, quote unquote injury, like what they did with Hogan before WrestleMania 2 when Bundy, you know, he hurt his ribs so bad and his ribs are wrapped, and can Hogan overcome King Kong Bundy, you know, five and in the cage, and even go back further, even when Ric Flair and Harley Race, when Orton Senior, you know. Orton Sr. and Race put a bounty on Flair, and they pile-drived him, and Flair was going to, quote-unquote, retire. And then Flair came back. I mean, that's and at that moment, Flair was the face. That could work. Maybe something like that.
Yeah, all good. But that's why we have the guru on, because I didn't know that stuff. No, that stuff all works, and you're right, like maybe coming out of even something like this, even if he wins Money in the Bank, if he comes out of, you know, takes a nasty spill off the ladder, or, you know, someone comes down and interferes, and, you know, the battle back.
Yeah, Big Show, so it's pretty easy. Have Big Show brutalize him, and, you know, he crushed his ribs, he'll never breathe again. I mean, just anything. And no, I mean, it's not that hard. It's, you know, or put the ladder on his leg, and he broke his tibia and fibula and shattered. Just do something like that. Now, we're a little far off from WrestleMania, so you probably aren't going to do that tonight. You know, if we're talking about WrestleMania, I don't know what's in the works for SummerSlam. It's easy, and it always works.
Yeah, it's tried, true, and, you know, it's something. But, you know, we've seen in the past where, you know, coming out of the Brock Lesnar, it may have looked like, hey, maybe they'll try the injury angle. And they didn't. You know, immediately he was back on TV. But it is, I mean, look, we sit here each and every week and we analyze this stuff. But ultimately, I mean, let's face it, it's not rocket surgery. This is pro wrestling, and there are certain things that are tried and true. And it could work to revitalize his character. You know, who knows what we're going to do. But you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to go out to the phones because tried and true, as we're talking about using an injury, tried and true each and every week, Tony is on the line. Tony, are you there?
I am here, guys. What's going on?
Good to hear from you, Tony. Tony is our blogger for thekenreedyshow.com, recaps all the shows each and every week. The best blogger in the business. You miss anything, go to thekenreedyshow.com, read the blogs. Or you know what? This past week on Monday Night Raw, rather than sitting through those 2 hours, it would have been better just to go and catch Tony's blog and read through it. Tony, what are you looking forward to tonight out of the pay-per-view?
Oh, God, I don't know. Probably the world title money in the back ladder match or the Sheamus Del Rio match itself, you know, one of those two. Because, like you were saying, the other half, the Raw half. Oh, jeez, I don't know if you read my blog, but like you were saying too, you know, the whole thing with AJ. I mean, she's become, you know, it's like she means more than the belt does. I mean, this is WWE's typical stupid ass, you know, oh, we tell stories and we make movies that suck. Yeah, I mean.
You're right. I mean, I think with AJ, and you bring up a real good point with the AJ thing. I like what they're doing as far as there's a woman in a prominent role, and the WWE has shit on the female division for quite some time. And having someone in that kind of role is good. And she's over. I mean, she's more than over with the crowd. However, sometimes less is more. And to me, you know, to use the analogy in TV of jumping the shark, this past Monday, to me, that this storyline has kind of jumped the shark, and I'm curious where they're going to go with it. I don't doubt they're going to have a good match. It being a no DQ match makes me wonder. I mean, do you just think AJ's going to do something?
Both personally, women's nuts or something. I don't know what the hell's going
on. What'd you say?
She'll kick both of them in the nuts at some point. I don't know. She'll kick Punk at one point, and then she'll kick Brian in the other. I don't know. I mean, it's like each one of them is going to have a pin, and she's not going to count it.
Yeah. See, you know what I would love to see tonight, and it won't happen, but I'll, you know, whatever. I would love to see that they save this match for last. And whoever wins, John Cena wins Money in the Bank. AJ was banging Cena the whole time. And AJ, as a guest referee, Cena comes down, a kick to the balls, Cena hits the guy in the back of the head with the briefcase, and a quick three count from AJ, and Cena wins the belt. And him and coming out of the divorcing in real life, that would be TV gold. But it won't happen.
I don't see it happening either, but that would be, well, I mean, that would make Cena the heel, which I don't see them doing.
Not exactly.
I think
the WWE has shown they're never, and they should, again, Wrestling 101, but I don't know if they'll ever turn him heel. Getting back to the other match you're looking forward to, you said you're looking forward to the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank match. Just curious, what are your thoughts on that match? You know, any one participant you're really looking forward to seeing what they'll do in the ladder match?
One of two guys that I think should go over are either Cody Rhodes or Dolph Ziggler. I mean, you know, those guys, you know, I know WWE likes to keep yanking the rug out from under those guys. But, you know, I mean, I think they definitely deserve it. I mean, they one of those two should definitely be, you know, they should have one of those guys go over. You know, I mean, I'm imagining, you know, they can both do some good stuff with the ladders in there.
If you had to pick one that you'd like to see go over, who would you pick?
I'd go with Cody. Yeah, I don't know. I just have, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of both guys, but, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. I like to see Cody Rhodes come out with the belt.
But, I kind of agree. I mean, out of the two of them, and I love Ziggler. I think Cody is more ready.
I think so, too, yeah. Right.
Cody has a lot of the natural charisma that his father had, which maybe Goldust lacked a little bit, which is why he did Goldust. But I'm pretty high on Cody Rhodes, but I like Ziggler a lot too. He's very good in the ring. He moves well. He's fluid. I think he's very good. So I wouldn't mind either one winning. But I'll say Cody Rhodes. I like Cody Rhodes. Give him a shot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Cody Rhodes is one of those, like, sometimes, you know, in a family, you almost see, like, you know, everything worked, and the genealogy. I mean, he's a physical specimen. I mean, he's got a great look, but he's physically gifted much more than his dad ever was. But I'm not going to say he's as good as Dusty on the mic, but he's been blessed with the mic skills as well.
Dusty's one of the best talkers ever. And actually, you know, it's funny, Dusty Rhodes played minor league baseball, and very early in his career, actually had a much better physique. Later on, he pretty much after 7'5", he just, you know, whatever, too many libations, you know.
What do you think is going to happen in the Del Rio match, Tony?
I think Sheamus retains, you know, because I've been trying to, you know, establish him as like a credible world champion. So, you know, he probably wins, but, you know, that. What Dave was saying earlier, though, about, you know, like, all the, like, bringing in the other former champions just coming in as, like, such surprise entrances for the other match. Mysterio, maybe. I don't know if he's healed up from whatever knee injury he had yet, but I could see him being in there. Miz, good God, I hope not. You know, I mean,
that's my man, Tony.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, it's like, I mean, if they have Miz, you know, be the first guy to cash in or lose, it's like, okay, yeah, former world champ was now a jobber cashing in and lost, big freaking deal. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, as far as that match goes, I was thinking Cena, too, as far as winning, you know, and certainly him cashing in and being the first to lose certainly wouldn't hurt him, because even, like I said, you know, it's like, the Cena character has never really been through, like, any, you know, it's like you never really feel like, you know, the guy comes out, you know, losing anything. You know, it's like he loses the belt, he comes out, cuts a stupid promo, he gets attacked by the Nexus the first night, and then, you know, he makes jokes out of it. You know, it's just like the guy never really has a sense of loss. You know, the character never has a sense of loss that you want to see him get his, you know, get a win back on someone. It's like he's always just steamrolling through everybody.
And that's always been his problem. I mean, every so often you see Cena cut a good promo, and it's when he's intense Cena. Every so often, he gets pissed, and when he's pissed and kind of yelling, he's good. And I thought he did well his run with The Rock. But you're right. You know, how do you get killed or betrayed or your ass handed to you and then, you know, come down the next time and start cracking jokes? I think Tony brings up an excellent point, and Guru brought it up, you know, the adversity, but a sense of loss. And that's what the character needs, a sense of, you know, give us a reason to root for him, you know, in America.
Hulk Hogan back in the day, you know, he would lose too. Like you said, he got his ribs cracked by King Kong Bundy, Earthquake, you know, gave him a splash on the Bro the Love Show or whatever. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, Andre the Giant. Hey, what's that?
That one.
I love that. That's a classic. I called that. I was so addicted when I was a kid. I remember I said to my friend, that guy's going to squash Hogan. And they're like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man. But, you know, so, I mean, if they do stuff like, you know, they've never done stuff like that with Cena ever since they made him the, you know, ever since they made him the focal point of the company. You know, I don't really recall, to, you know, that happening. And even, you know, another thing he said too, you know, it's like he said it's been a year since he's been without the belt. I mean, I think that's the longest he's been without the belt since he first won it back in 2005.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has, yeah. I watched Destination X on Sunday night. My God, what a that was a fantastic show. I loved every minute of it. And the thing is, all Austin Aries won. The place went nuts. It was a great show. You know, I watched that Sunday night, and then the next night, I get a shit fest like that of Raw. It was like the first 20 minutes of that. I was just like, the dual marriage proposals was like, the whole AJ storyline was good, but it's like now I think they went into overkill mode with the marriage proposal. And then when the stupid laptop went off, I was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. I thought the same thing when I heard the beep. Let me ask you something, because we talked a bit about it in the beginning of the show, and ask you this and let you go. But true or false, since TNA has gone live, TNA is putting out a better product than the WWE.
Absolutely. TNA has been way better ever since they've gone, since they've gone live. You know, the pay-per-view on Sunday was great. You know, even, it's like Austin Aries winning the title. I don't know if it was in the plans, but because the fans got behind them, they called the audible and they put the belt on him. If it was WWE, they would have been like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to be happening.
Agree. I can't agree more. I mean, TNA is definitely putting on a superior product right now, this man's opinion. And in Tony's opinion, who is our awesome blogger. I'm sorry to use the word awesome. I apologize right now. But you are an awesome blogger. Check him out on thekenreedyshow.com. He recaps all the shows for us. And go to thekenreedyshow.com now. Answer our poll question. Who do you think is going to win the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank ladder match? You're going to hit that. The results of the poll in a little bit. Tony, always a pleasure talking to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll be around. I'll be here next week.
Take it easy, man.
You too.
And just to put it out there, as Tony said, he's going to be calling us next week. Next week's show, we will not be doing a show Sunday night. In fact, we will be doing a special Raw pregame for the 1,000th episode. Just, I don't know if you guys know, but it's the longest running episodic TV show in TV history. I don't know if WWE's mentioned that, but I thought it would be important for me to let y'all know that it is the longest running TV show in... Anyway, yes. So we'll be doing a pregame next week, Monday, from 6 to 8 before Monday Night Raw. So be sure to tune in on Monday, not Sunday night. And if you want to talk wrestling now, 347-838-9815, 347-838-9815 is the number to call. And Tony brings up good points. It's a shame right now that TNA does not have the resources that the WWE has, because what we've gotten out of the past couple months out of TNA, if both companies were equal financially and if the production value was better in TNA, we could have the opening shots, the Fort Sumter, if you will, of a new incarnation of the Monday Night Wars. Because, right now, if I had 2 hours going into next week and I could only dedicate 2 hours to watching wrestling, I'd watch Impact. That would be the show I'd tune into. And, call it spade a spade. I mean, that's right now, that's where it's at. I'm enjoying, for 2 hours, if I'm going to sit and watch 2 hours of wrestling. I'm not saying everything's perfect, but Impact has been a far superior show. But Tony brings up all good points. Getting back to Money in the Bank, because this is a Money in the Bank TV show. Radio show. We are talking pregame, 347-838-9815, and be sure to go to our website, thekenreedyshow.com. Answer our poll question, who is going to win the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank ladder match? We've been talking about that. Dave, let me ask you something. Going into this match, and we talked about who he thinks is going to win and surprise guests and guys that have seen his first ladder match. Just let's break it down. Do you think this is going to be a good match?
That's a tough one. Excuse me. I don't know. With the added surprises, yeah, I think it can be. I think there will be. I think if they added a few more guys, if they added the loser of the world title match, either Sheamus or Del Rio, if they added Mysterio, if they added Miz, as much as we, you know, all agree that, you know, we're not fans of the guy, but if they added, you know, some extra, you know, some extra accoutrements to the entree. I think it can be a solid ladder match. I think it's they're really more telling a story with John Cena than anything else. I think everyone else is just filler. So,
did you really just say accoutrement?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
Wow, we're all of a sudden we're a bilingual show. Awesome. Anyway, Dave. You know what? I'm gonna tag you out now. Because.
All right.
So we're gonna be like real professional here, because we are honored and privileged to have on the line right now the Body Slam Wrestling Organization heavyweight champ, member of the Dynasty of Destruction. You must obey the law. Tristan Law on the line. Champ, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We kind of took care of things. Now Dave's going to step out, and we're going to have a nice, even-keeled, professional interview this evening. Sound good to you?
Sounds good to me.
All right, cool. So you're watching Money in the Bank tonight. Curious, you know, we were talking about the Cena Money in the Bank, the World the WWE Championship. What do you think we have to look forward to in that match?
Oh, man, what do I have to look forward to? Let me first say this. Since I've become BWO champion, life has been great. This past weekend, well, this current weekend, I bought a 60-inch television screen, two of them, and I'm putting them side by side in my den, and that's how I'm watching the pay-per-view tonight, me and all my boys in our Lazy Boy. So what I feel about the pay-per-view, I feel the pay-per-view is going to be awesome because I'm watching it on such a big screen.
That's what I love about you being on the show. It's like some class. I mean, just being able to have you on the show, I feel, just elevates the level here because, you know, you are prestigious. I mean, you are where it's at as far as not only just the indie wrestling scene, but the wrestling scene as a whole. And you know, being the heavyweight champ, I just, you know what, I just got to thank you for being on the show.
Well, you know what? I thank you for having me on your show every week.
I'm curious, champ. You know, you're obviously incredibly talented, very gifted. In a given week, I mean, you are a physical specimen. What does a typical Tristan Law workout look like?
Cardio. Did I say cardio? And more cardio. Weightlifting, just cardio. I think that's the most important thing. And weightlifting, doing different stuff. It's a lot more than running the treadmill and stuff like that. You know, box jumps, sprints. You know, a magnitude of different things just to get my body in the right shape to prepare. Because after all, I'm wrestling in a cage match on the 26th in Middletown, New York, and I'm wrestling against QT Marshall from Ring of Honor on the 21st in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. I'm defending my belt against them. It's going to be two tough matches, so I got to make sure my body's ready for it.
Did it change anything as far as, you know, when you're training now for a cage match? Any difference in how you're training for that match?
Well, for this match, the way I've trained a lot differently is that I've been watching a lot of cage matches, you know, just to see what the other participants in cage matches before me have done to stay, you know, competitive within the match. Also, more and more cardio. You know, because I want to be able to go. You know, when his body stops, I want to be able to go. QT Marshall, that guy can go. So, you know, when I get in the ring with him, I want to be able to go. You know, I'm going to push him to the limit. So, you know, put on a good show for the fans. So, you know, that's all that I've been doing to get ready for those two big matches I'm having this month.
And you're really being, like, kind of politically correct. But let's say, did either one of these guys have any chance at beating you?
Well, I mean, QT Marshall and I, we both went to Team 3D's wrestling school in Kissimmee, Florida, and you know, at one time he could have beat me, but now I'm the law, so you know, it's hard to beat the law. You know, the other guy that I'm fighting, the same as Mike Iannuzzi, he's a local guy from Middletown, New York. You know, I've mopped the floor with him plenty of times. So you know what? why can't I do it another time? So, you know, I'm not worried about none of those guys. If anything, those guys should be worried about me because nobody's above the law. Which you already know that, right, Ken?
I completely know that. And we have, just so you know, we have someone else who's like the guru of wrestling is actually sitting in the studio, and he will obey the law, and he has the utmost respect for you, and that's why we brought him in, because, you know, we want to make the champ feel comfortable when he's here.
I will obey the law.
I mean, everybody has no choice but to obey the law.
I like how he mentioned, you know, cardio, because, you know, all the greats. I mean, I remember being a kid and reading the wrestling magazines and, you know, kind of wondering, like, well, how did Ric Flair train? And it was the same thing. It was, he was legendary for, you know, just working his cardio and being on the treadmill. And that's why he could, you know, wrestle night after night or sometimes even two matches, you know, in one day. So, you know, it's good to hear.
And that's just it. Tristan Law is following in the footsteps of the greats, standing on top of the shoulders of giants. Going forward into the Body Slam Wrestling organization, and again, what is what's the date on your next show for them?
The next show for them is July 21st. That takes place at the American Legion in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. The address for you guys out there that want to show up is 1 Legion Place, Elmwood Park, New Jersey. It's just that simple.
The Dynasty of Destruction. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Dynasty of Destruction has completely taken over the BWO. You've wreaked havoc, and, you know, we've talked about this. And you know, just to kind of reiterate, is there any chance right now, anyone in the BWO that can dethrone the Dynasty of Destruction?
I mean, every month, those guys from BWO work harder and harder, you know, to try. You know, I give them that much. I give them an E for effort. But, you know, you have guys like, you know, Matt Sydal, that's Evan Bourne's brother. He's coming into the show as well. You have QT Marshall coming into the show. So they're, you know, they're trying to stack their chips. You know, if they really want to beat us, you know, what they should do is pray, because, you know, they need God on their side in order to beat the Dynasty. Nobody's taking us down.
Even if God showed up, I mean, really, they really don't have much of a shot, do they?
I mean, you know, because they don't have the law on their side. So, I mean, you know, if you don't have the law on your side, you know, then you're nothing.
What are some of the other matches we have to look forward to on the next Body Slam Wrestling Organization event?
You asked me that question. But if you go to the official Facebook of the Body Slam Wrestling Organization, you can definitely find out all the matches out there. You can also check out the website. It's bodyslamwrestling.com. You can go there. You can link to the Facebook from there, and you can see all the matches that are going on. Follow them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. It's easy to follow them on Twitter. You just type in at bodyslam, and you can follow them on Twitter.
Very cool. I'm curious for you, since, you know, the sky's the limit right now for the law, and who knows how. I mean, to me, Tristan Law can just go anywhere. I love to see you at some point on TV. Out of all the promotions out there right now, if you could step in the ring with one guy, if there's one guy you'd like to test your mettle against, who would you step in the ring with?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? Who I'd love to test my mettle against? I'd love to go with either Nunzio, or any of the guys from Team 3D, because those guys are my teachers. So, you know, I want to be able to show them, you know, what I got. You know, it's basically like the teacher and teacher versus student. The teacher doesn't give the student everything, but I want to go in there and show them that, you know, I'm the best of the best and I'm the future for wrestling.
That would be awesome. You know what? I would love to see you go against Bully Ray.
I wouldn't go against Devon, though, because, you know, I'm not really into black-on-black crime, so that wouldn't really happen at all.
That'd be awesome. It's, you know, and you you learn from the best, and that's really good. I mean, you learn from Nunzio, you learn from Team 3D, and, you know, you're real good at on the mic. You know, you bring the points home. Right now, when you watch pro wrestling on TV, is there anybody that you think in the business that's better than Bully Ray? Because we've talked a lot on the show, and you've learned from him. Now, my opinion right now, if any guys, if I have to watch one promo, I'm going to watch a Bully Ray promo. I think he's the best right now in the business. Number one, do you agree that he's the best? And number two, who are some other guys you like watching their promo work?
I like Bully Ray. I mean, I really don't think anybody. I think right now it's like he's on the top of his game. You know, I remember when he was in the WWE back in the day, coming from ECW, he lost all that weight. You know, when it was like on top of his game, like I think they were the best tag team in the world, you know, at the time, and probably still too, currently the best tag team of all time. But right now, I think that Bully Ray's like the best singles tag team, best singles wrestler, you know, right now in America. Because, you know, I don't know about Japan or stuff like that, but I think he's the best. I think if he was in WWE right now, he'd definitely give them a run for their money. Because he's like a machine right now. Nobody could beat him.
I agree with you. I mean, I've just been impressed with everything he's done so far. And you know, you bring it up, and now I'm like, I'm getting set. Like, I want to turn on Impact, and I want to see, you know, Trin Law coming down the ramp take on Bully Ray.
Hey, but you know what? You never know.
That would be awesome.
That opportunity may happen someday soon because of the TNA gut check that they have on the TV. One day you might see the law on TV, you know. I have to show Bully Ray why he must obey the law. You know, I could show him that if he really wants to find out.
And do you like that gut check thing, that what they've added? I mean, do you like, you know, to me it's something different and unique. Do you like that segment?
I don't think it's a bad segment at all. You know, I think it's cool that they're giving an opportunity for newer faces to be shown on TV, you know, instead of just recycling everybody from Ring of Honor, WWE, or TNA. You know, being that WWE is the highest point that everybody wants to get to because that's where all the money is. So, you know, they're giving newer guys, you know, an opportunity to go on TV and show the world what they have. So, you know, I think that's definitely a great thing for TNA, you know. I mean, they couldn't do something like Tough Enough because Tough Enough has been done already. They can't do reality TV where you're trying to teach people how to be wrestlers because Hulk Hogan did that with that Celebrity Championship Wrestling and WWE's done that. So, you know, how can they bring new talent, you know, to their audience without being a copycat? And I think TNA gut check the best way.
All excellent points. And, Champ, we're going to let you go, but again, why don't you give everyone dates where we can see the law, to obey the law, and we'll talk to you real soon. Give us where we can see you.
All right, here's where you can see the law. You can see the law at for the Body Slam Wrestling Organization, where I hold the championship title. That takes place on July 21st. 1 Legion Place, Elmwood Park, New Jersey. That's the American Legion of Elmwood Park. And then you also have on the 26th, I'm wrestling in a cage match against a local guy named Mike Iannuzzi. That match takes place in Middletown during the Orange County Fair. You can get tickets for that one at ecpw1.com. And, of course, check out my website, www.tristanlaw.com, and find me on Facebook, facebook.com/TristanLawFanPage.
Awesome, Champ. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me again.
Hey, man.
Thanks, Champ.
And there you go. That's how you conduct a professional interview. Dave, you can come on back in.
Oh, thanks for welcoming me back.
Thanks. See, now that was, you know, that's how you do it, man. You bring the champ on, you show him some respect, you let him know where it's at, ask some questions, let the champ talk, let him say what he needs to say, and then you just kind of, that was a good interview. That was, if I do say so myself, that was hell of an interview. Hell of an interview. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, it was stellar, right? Yeah, exactly, stellar. Right up there with, you know, Walter Cronkite, and, you know.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I was thinking like Walter Cronkite, maybe, you know, Dan Rabbi with but more entertaining than the both of them.
Like John Stossel and Dr. D. David Schultz.
Yeah, like that kind of.
Well,
sometimes where my abilities lie just amaze me. I sometimes just amaze myself, which is.
So does everybody else. Everyone else thinks the same thing, too.
They do. And, you know, having like the gold, I mean, the gold on the, you know, that's where it's at. And to have a heavyweight champ on here, You know, to be able to book a champ to do an interview, just really kudos to me. Kudos to me. But we're at that point, Dave. We're going to go to the 50-50 Dave 5 news update. Dave, you ready?
I've been waiting patiently. Yes, I'm ready.
All right, let's do it, Dave.
This is the Dave 5 on the Ken Reedy Show, where you can get all the latest updates in the world of professional wrestling provided by myself. Top story this week comes from TNA Wrestling, as an ongoing rights fee dispute between Viacom and DirecTV has caused their contract negotiations to come to a complete stop as of now. Viacom, the multimedia conglomerate that owns such networks as CBS and Spike TV, which airs Impact Wrestling, have pulled all programs to air on DirecTV due to DirecTV wanting to pay them less than any other carrier, and they have already been paying a lower rate due to their contract being 7 years old and was negotiated in what amounts to ancient history in the television industry. TNA programming is currently lost to more than 20 million DirecTV subscribers as of right now. As of Tuesday evening, the deal was not renewed, and as of this writing, TNA does not air to DirecTV subscribers. No new developments right now, but a new deal has been reached. And our second story, my name is Finley, and I got my job back. That's right, Dave Finley was rehired on Monday by the WWE. Finley was released in March of 2011 when he was running a house show and made the decision to have The Miz interrupt the national anthem as a part of an angle to draw more heat on him. Members of the National Guard were in attendance and were none too pleased. Also being a big sponsor for WWE, officials felt in order to keep a good working relationship with the National Guard that Finley had to be let go. No word on when Finley will begin working with WWE. In some controversial news from last night, Kurt Angle, TNA star, was inducted into the George Trigos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. However, Angle could not appear in person to receive the award due to obligations with his upcoming wedding. Here's where the controversy lies. Reports have surfaced that WWE Hall of Famer Jerry Briscoe took offense to this and auctioned off Angle's award for $250. Angle, after hearing this, took to Twitter to vent his frustrations with Briscoe. As of 3:41 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, Briscoe reportedly got the award back and it will be sent to Angle resolving this crazy issue. Angle went to Twitter later this afternoon to apologize for his rant and to Briscoe. Looks like all is right between Angle and Briscoe. More controversy this week, as WWE diva Karma has had her profile removed from the superstar section of WWE.com to the alumni page, which to most fans indicate that she was to be released. In the past few days, the profile has flip-flopped back and forth between the two pages. Karma commented on the move of her profile by stating, "I will not be taking any future bookings." No formal release has been made and not sure if one will come. Karma was last seen at the Royal Rumble this past January, making her the third female in WWE history to enter the Royal Rumble match. And in our final story of the week, what you gonna do, brother, when Hulkamania runs wild on the world of retail? This Hulkamaniac is pumped as it was announced this past week that Hulk Hogan will be opening a retail shop in Clearwater Beach, Florida, selling autographed memorabilia as well as Hulk Hogan merchandise. It was also announced that there will be scheduled autograph signings with past wrestlers periodically throughout the store. No timetable has been set as to when the shop will open and what the name of the store will be. And speaking of Hulk Hogan, Northeast Wrestling, September 22nd, Fishkill, New York, Dutchess Stadium. Hulk Hogan will be there, live, in person, along with the man they call Vader, Matt Hardy, Rebby Sky, Lita, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Angelina Love, TNA Knockout Velvet Sky, and just added this week, Hot Rod Rowdy Roddy Piper. Bell times at 7 p.m., meet and greet with Hulk Hogan and all the other stars are scheduled to begin at 4 p.m. That was your Dave 5 report, only on the Ken Reedy Show. Back to you, Ken.
Thanks, Dave. Not bad. That was good. Sounded real good. Clear, concise, good stories. Well done, Dave. Well done. I just want to ask you, Dave, you know, with this whole cable dispute with TNA and, you know, DirecTV and everything, with all the positive that we've talked about with what TNA has done as of late, you know, is there any, I mean, this is bad for TNA. To be in this state where things are working, you know, as they say, firing on all cylinders, I mean, can we overestimate how bad this is for TNA right now?
I mean, we can overestimate. We could speculate. We could say, you know, we could talk about the possibilities of how it's going to hurt them to air their program. But, I mean, it's not like 20 million people were watching that show each and every week, too. You know, I mean, they have a good product. I don't think it's – I think the marketing has gotten better for them. But as of right now, I don't think it's a positive for them, but it's also not a negative either. Hopefully it can work out so that DirecTV subscribers who do watch TNA, Impact Wrestling, can continue watching it. But it's not really – it's bad timing. I think it's just bad timing overall where they're at right now and what they're putting out on television.
Yeah, I mean, I just think with TNA, this is – I mean, you said bad timing. I you know – it's funny because if this happened to the WWE, they can weather that storm. They're a machine. To me, TNA right now, they're putting out a good product. There's just one set of eyes that can't watch it because of this stuff. It's bad for them. The margin of error for TNA is a lot smaller than the WWE. They haven't reached that point where they're just a machine and people are just going to watch you know, they're one of those shows, like, you kind of have to be, you know, it's not like every wrestling fan is watching TNA. And it's going well right now. We've talked about it, you know, TNA has gone through spurts, you know, where they've been really good and they've been bad. You know, if they get this dispute settled and it turns out like TNA happens to be on a downturn during the time where things are settled, you know, there's some viewership they could wind up losing. I hope that it all works out because TNA is putting on a good product right now. Really bad timing for them, and to me, it could really hurt them, but it definitely hurts them because they need every set of eyeballs they can on that product. An unfortunate situation, but let's get back to Money in the Bank. This is the Ken Reedy Show, Money in the Bank. Pre-game show. Give us a call, 347-838-9815. Talking Money in the Bank. But you can talk about whatever you want in the world of professional wrestling. You got a problem with Tristan Law being here, you can call in and tell us what you think of that. Give us a call about TNA, cable problems, whatever you want to talk about. We're going to get back to the pay-per-view and the World Heavyweight Championship match. Del Rio versus Sheamus. It's interesting with this match. And, you know, I got to say, it's kind of weird. And I don't really know why. Because I won't fault WWE Creative on that. But, you know, Sheamus, I like him. I like Sheamus. Sheamus has got some detractors. I like what he brings to the table. Del Rio has been a strong heel. Slamming Sheamus's head in the hood of a car, beating the hell out of him at the end of SmackDown. I think one of the best parts of putting over the pay-per-view. The storyline has been good. You know, the setup for their match has been good. I don't know why. Like, I'm just not like really jonesing for this match. I don't know if it's because of, you know, it's a Money in the Bank pay-per-view, so my brain is kind of geared towards the Money in the Bank ladder matches. You know, these two guys should put on a good match. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they do, but I'm not overly excited about the match, but I can't fault anyone. Maybe it's just my own hang-up. Your thoughts going into this match, Dave?
I think it's been overshadowed with the whole AJ thing. You know, you can't, I mean, they're both title matches, so you can't really have two over-dramatic, you know, over-the-top storylines. for the title matches. You already got one with the AJ Love Triangle with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk now. I think this is just simple, basic, you know, with booking. Like I said earlier, you know, some people can complain about it and say it's bland, it's boring, but those same people will complain if, you know, it was a love triangle between the two of them and Ricardo Rodriguez. So, I mean, I got no problem with it. This is obviously going to help both guys being in a marquee matchup. The only intrigue I have in, as far as this match goes is who's going to lose and who's going to, you know, who's going to enter the possibly enter the WWE Championship ladder match, the contract match with the other four guys. They want to give Del Rio a strong push. They feel like, you know, from what I've been reading lately, that you know, Sin Cara isn't exactly reliable. Mysterio's, I wouldn't say he's winding down his career, but he's not exactly in favor with the company right now, with being injured a lot. And so they're looking
for another. I've had surgery on left leg 50,000 times. Ouch. 50,001.
Wow, it's like a role reversal this week. You got the entertainment value. Apparently, I got nothing. Man. Anyhow. So, and Del Rio got some leverage, too, being, you know, Hispanic, and they want to market, you know, a big Hispanic star. And apparently, it's been rumored that he will not be wrestling very much longer, probably just a couple more years. So, I think they want to get the most out of him. And by pushing him, they feel that they could do that. Sheamus has had a good run. I mean, it hasn't been the greatest. It's been good, solid to good, to my personal opinion. And I think if he were to go over on, I think either one of them, if either one of them won the match, it wouldn't be a, it wouldn't be a huge issue with me personally. So, like I said, the only intrigue I have with this is the fact that, you know, which guy that loses is going to enter the ladder match. That's my intrigue in it. But I think it'll be a good match. I mean, they've wrestled before on television, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it was a traditional setup. And maybe that's part of the problem that, you know, you don't see that a lot anymore. It's a traditional heel doing bad things to the face. Almost like, you know, like the Guru had brought up earlier, with Del Rio putting his arm lock on him over the stage at the end of SmackDown, I would be shocked if Sheamus does not have some kind of wrap around his elbow tonight. He will be selling some sort of injury, and hopefully, now I can't say they will, but hopefully we get at least some decent announcing out of the commentating table where they can kind of sell the injury a bit to make it out to be, I don't know, if Sheamus can win this match because of the injury, and we don't get a lot of, you know, Gertie just sitting there going, oh, it's shucky ducky on the quack, quack, oh my goodness, and all that crap. If we can have some good announcing, I could see something like, you know, I definitely could see him with some sort of wrap around his elbow.
It would certainly add intrigue, and it always works. I don't really remember a time where, you know, a wrestler coming in and having some major injury, you know, not adding some drama to it. When the Horseman broke Dusty Rhodes' ankle in 85, and then he had to wrestle Flair, it's like, you got to wrestle the best in the business, you know, whoop, and you got to go in there being Dusty Rhodes with a bad ankle against Ric Flair, and Flair's finishing move is what? It added intrigue. I'm actually a big fan of Sheamus. I think I'm not really sure what the story writing has been lately and if that has, you know, hindered his progress. I think he has potential to be great, the potential to be so. I find it interesting that our two guests both mentioned that, you know, basically saying, well, hopefully this can push Sheamus. He's the champ, so...
I mean, the thing is, like, with a guy like Sheamus, you know, he's the champ. It hurt him that he won the belt with just, like, an 18-second. So it was, like, building him up to be stronger. Yeah, beating a Del Rio definitely makes him, you know, it definitely builds him up as a strong championship run. It's been, like you said, Dave, it's been a good championship run. To me, this is his biggest challenge during this run, and it would serve to put his reign over to beat this challenge. I mean, Dave, your thoughts? I mean, I'm thinking that this at this point in time, this is his toughest match. This is his toughest opponent since gaining the belt.
In a one-on-one sense, yeah. I mean, if anything, his toughest match was probably the four-way with Jericho, Orton, and Del Rio back in May. But in a one-on-one sense, yeah, it'd be tough for Del Rio. But, who knows where they want to go with this. And, if they think that Sheamus has run its course and he's not, you know, like drawing fans in. But, I mean, he still gets a pretty big pop every week. He's still pretty popular. So I think a Sheamus win is more than likely going to happen tonight. I think Sheamus will retain the title tonight. And we'll continue to see that aggressive side from Alberto Del Rio that they've been
trying. And it's funny because, as we're talking about it, and, you know, Sheamus has become kind of a polarizing figure, but on our Facebook page, Ontario Hewitt, right as we're talking, Sheamus sucks. So there's definitely, there's two sides to it. And I know that the match, I think what's a lot of Sheamus's criticism, I think it comes from the 18-second match at WrestleMania, which is not his fault, but it was what it was. And knowing the rumor is that he's buddies with Triple H, and that, like, anytime a wrestling fan thinks that things are being handed to someone, that's going to, you know, alienate fans to a certain extent. He's not like Mr. Athlete. He's not a CM Punk. He's not a Daniel Bryan, but he's a big guy. He does strength moves. One of the things I find really entertaining about Sheamus is, honestly, his skin tone, because that man at the end of matches looks like he went through a battle. Any shot that guy takes anywhere on his body welts up immediately. And after the match, he's got welts and bruises all over him, and he looks like a Celtic warrior. I'm not saying I love Sheamus. I like him. I think he's got a lot to offer, and I'm one of those guys that I like my champions to be kind of those large-than-life strongmen, and I like that. But we welcome all opinions here, and as far as Ontario Hewitt says, Sheamus sucks, Guru.
Well, I wish included with that was a reason. You know, give us an example why Sheamus sucks. I think in this day and age, because let's face it, most of these guys, there's not a lot of ground wrestling. A lot of mat wrestling anymore. It seems to be more of a rarity than the norm. I think Sheamus moves well. I think he talks well. He's charismatic, and I like his gimmick personally. And he certainly looks the part. So I think he's very good and has the potential to be great. You know, again, storylines have to work in favor for the character. Now, admittedly, I've seen Sheamus more as the heel, so if maybe he's not as good as a face, I don't know that. But when I saw him working as a heel, like early on with Triple H, I thought he did a very good job. And I actually saw Sheamus wrestle live once. I thought, again, he was fluid. He had good movement, especially for a big guy. I think he's very good.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I like him. And Ontario went on to say, you know, worst face champ ever. So, you know, Ontario doesn't like him. You know, if you want to, Ontario, if you'd like to post your reasoning, some things, you know, I mean, you know, there are different styles. There's different guys, you know. Not everyone can be a Kurt Angle. You know, I kind of agree with the Guru. That you know, I like he has his style and he sticks to it. He doesn't come out of it and try to do too much. And you know what? To be honest with you, I don't know if I'd want him to do much more than he does because that's what he does well. But we're going to go out to the phones at this time. Dank, is it you?
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Not much. Working as always.
What you got for us this week, Dank?
Oh, what do I have for you this week? I got a good one. I think anybody that's listening may want to chime in as well. Since in honor of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view tonight, which Jericho likes to credit, which I don't know if it's true or not that he came up with it, just like Bischoff came up with the Elimination Chamber. Here's my question. If you were given the opportunity to come up with a type of match or pay-per-view like a match like a Money in the Bank or Elimination Chamber, and the only stipulation is it's something that's never been done before, what would you come up with and what would you call it?
Oh, you're saying, so create a match.
Create
really?
A match. It doesn't have to be one-on-one, just like the Elimination Chamber. It's, you know, you can have up to, like, you know, six people or a battle royal. You can do just about anything you want. What would you come up to the point where it would be, they could create an entire pay-per-view around this match?
Wow, that's a good question. I will throw it out right now. The guru, who is like the ultimate wrestling historian, so maybe he can roll some of the history into something, but what are your thoughts on this?
Well, the first thing I was going to say was they should bring back some of the, you know, classic formats that you don't even see anymore, you know, like a tech death match or rope. I don't remember the last time I saw any of those matches. Hey, how about someone bleeds in the WWE, but that's a separate issue or gripe to me. But maybe the only thing that kind of popped in my head, I think I'd like to have time to really work it out, but just for the sake of the program, I mean, maybe almost something like where a Royal Rumble type match, but with tag teams, maybe to inject a little life into tag team wrestling. You know, you have, I don't know, whatever, 10 tag teams, and it's a kind of like a Royal Rumble rule where you have to eliminate the tag team. I don't know, maybe something like that.
Yeah, that could be something interesting, and you have like a tag team come down to the ring like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, and then like put a shotgun on like a pole, and it's like there's so many things that have been done. Like I can't think of Dave. Any ideas? Let's like maybe we can brainstorm. We'll put together a match. So maybe a tag team type Royal Rumble. Anything you would add, Dave?
To that match, or maybe or something personal,
or something else. We're gonna see if we can put together a match at least for the sake of the program.
What if they had done? And I thought it's funny because I thought of this idea years ago. I mean, there's probably other people in the world that have thought of this idea too, but it never came about. But when TNA started doing the lockdown concept with the all steel cages, you know, the cage would just be. Like, it wasn't really, you know, didn't factor in as much into some of the matches. And sometimes they would do different stipulations. Like I think they did one year, it was like Bobby Roode and Dustin Rhodes in like a 2 out of 3 falls match inside the cage. And then another year they did like a hardcore match with like Raven and Jeff Hardy. And I thought to myself, what if they did a steel cage ladder match? Where you confined it to, like, inside the cage, but with, like, a ladder. Like, you use the ladder, you gotta climb to, you know, to grab whatever, either a championship or a briefcase or a contract or something like that. You know, or you could win multiple ways. Like, you could either climb the ladder and grab the whatever object you're going to win, or you try and climb the cage. So it makes, like, the intrigue of how to win that particular object more intriguing.
Okay.
No, that could work. So, like, in a cage, I still like the shotgun. I just feel like we got to work the shotgun in somehow. I don't know. I'm thinking of something like, rather than like climbing, but you have to do it somewhere else. I'm thinking more in like, instead of having to climb up and out of a cage, like a match in a pit. Have they ever done a match in a pit somewhere? I don't know if they could do it at a pay-per-view, but maybe like just a big hole somewhere where you have to, and you can use rocks, and maybe and you have to fight like Captain Kirk did when he fought against that lizard creature in Star Trek, and you can play, and everyone has to come out to the music that dun 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 dun, bro, bro, dun 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 dun. That's what I would go for.
You know, I went to WCW right before when Rhodes came over to do his Goldust character. He wrestled, and I'm forgetting who he wrestled, but he wrestled an opponent and it was in the back of like a trailer. It was a moving. It was like literally on the highway or whatever, and they were I remember this, and Rhodes dropped the mat. It was definitely different. So you got to give WCW credit for some ingenuity there, but I do remember Rhodes dropped the match, and then a few months later, you know, the mysterious Goldust appeared, and the rest is history. But
do you know the reason why he was gone from that match, or why after he disappeared? It's because WCW at the time didn't allow blood, and he bled during that match, and they fired him after that.
Son of a. Dank, always thought provoking. You know, maybe we'll try and think more on that, maybe come up with like a solid idea for a match on next show. It should be a set. And all your listeners out there, or my listeners, or your listeners, my listeners, post on the Facebook page. Let's hear if you could make up a match. I'd love to hear some ideas out there. Dank, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
And I already have the question ready for next week for the 1,000th episode, which I think everybody's going to like. I wrote it down. I'm not going to forget it. I'm going to call it next week. I'm not working this week.
You make my head hurt, Dank.
I am sure.
All right, thanks. Well, we'll talk to you next week, Dank. Take it easy.
All right, guys.
And we're going to go back out to the calls. And, caller, are you there? Got a 919 area code?
Yeah, hey, what's going on? This is Timmy D.
Hey, Timmy D, what's going on?
Hey, not much. I really enjoy the show. I've enjoyed listening to it, and I liked your comments in regards to John Cena a little bit earlier. I'm not always the biggest fan of his, but I think the character change has certainly been interesting over the past year, I would say.
Thanks. I appreciate that. What are you looking forward to tonight in the pay-per-view?
I would definitely say the Money in the Bank match, as far as in regards to the ladder matches. I think, like, you hit it perfectly. You said it's kind of almost become like the Royal Rumble in regards to everyone paying attention mainly to that one match, and all the other stuff is kind of filler till you get to the end, almost like the, maybe Elimination Chamber as well, too.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Are you looking forward to any of the championship matches? Scratch that. As far as the AJ match, the Daniel Bryan CM Punk match, I'm curious what you think about how the storylines progress, and are you looking forward to that match?
I am actually looking forward to the match. I totally agree that I thought 20 minutes was a little too long, but I really haven't been impressed with the amount of time that they've given to AJ, and I've enjoyed, where she's been able to develop her character. I'm looking forward to the matchup. I hope it kind of delivers, because I feel like the last time she was involved in like a three-way matchup with everybody, it didn't really kind of live up to the build-up that it was, going to present. So the fact that maybe it's one more go-around, hopefully they'll be actually able to deliver with that and actually make it more relevant with her involved somehow.
Who do you think is going to win?
That's a good question. I wouldn't be surprised if CM Punk wins again, just to pull it out. I mean, he's done a good job of being able to retain the title. I don't know if they're kind of on this kick of keeping the champion with the title for a while or not, but it seems to, at least, I think he's held it for a while, and seems to be that case. I'm also happy that at least Cena isn't in the main event picture, for the time being, which has been pretty remarkable.
Do Who do you think is going to win that Money in the Bank? Do you think Cena's going to pull it out, or do you think they're going to pull something out of their ass?
They'll probably pull something else out. I agree with you, too, about in regards to The Miz. I'm not a big Miz fan, so I'm hoping that – I wouldn't be surprised if they pull something out like that, especially in regards to the movie coming along and, you know, just the way they've done things like that in the past. So nothing would really surprise me probably too much in regards to those lines.
All good points. Thanks a lot for the call. You know, give us a call next week. We had, you know, Monday night, the 1,000th episode of Raw. I'd like to hear your takes on maybe favorite moments on Raw and what you're looking forward to going forward with 3-hour Raws. Thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Take it easy, man.
Wait.
Well, all right. We got some phone calls. Good show. Let's hit the Punk. I'm gonna get right now. The Punk Daniel Bryan match. AJ, the special guest referee, as we broke the story earlier in the show, has been changed to a no disqualification match. They've beaten a dead horse with this storyline to a certain extent. Have not enjoyed, did not enjoy Monday Night Raw at all. However, in the world of pro wrestling, as I've said, as an old time fan, as someone who's watched this crap for more than 5 years. You know, when you can't predict what's going to happen, that's always a good thing in wrestling, because I do find myself pretty much knowing what's going to happen a lot of times when I'm watching shows. I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with the storyline. I don't know where they're going to go with this match. I could see either guy winning. If I was honest, I'd probably say in my head right now, it's a 50-50 split. If I had to pick one or the other, for the sake of the show, I will pick someone. But for right now, Dave, your thoughts on this match? Good setup, good match. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to it from an in-ring standpoint as far as the two of them, you know, going. I mean, it's been intriguing with the whole AJ thing up until Monday night with the marriage proposal. I don't know. I'm not too thrilled with that. But in-ring wise, I look forward to it. I think it's going to be a good match, and I'm looking forward to. I mean, how much farther can they go with her with this? I mean, you know, it's gonna come to a point where, like, she's going to have to decide, like, either she picks either one of them, or, like you said, maybe there's a third person. I mean, what's the outcome going to be? Is she going to screw somebody? I mean, you know, not screw, like, as in, you know, the kind of screwing that, you know, the three of us like, but, you know, other kind of screwing, you know, like, you know what I mean. Anyhow.
We get it. You can go.
Yeah.
I don't think I get it.
Please, really?
Maybe that's a problem.
That's a personal problem.
We're such guys. All right. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. There's been too much of a setup. She's got to screw over someone. You know, I mean, if she doesn't screw over someone, if this whole thing if she calls this match down the middle, it's an absolute failure. They set her up as a psychopath. She has to do something.
Clearly she will either stop a count, you know, like 1-2, and then just hold her hand and screw someone like that. Or maybe we'll see. It's probably going to go back and forth through the match to keep the fans guessing. And then at the end, maybe she'll do a real fast count. You know. But, something's happening.
She's got to do something.
No doubt.
I'm predicting a someone's getting a kick to the nads tonight. That is my guess. But, Dave, I will go to you first. Prediction. On the fight, who do you think is going to win?
This is so tough to call because of the way that they have portrayed this story. I can't even begin to think. So just as a shot in the dark, I'm going to go with CM Punk. I think he'll pull it out somehow. I mean, the only reason why I say that is because at the end of that promo on Monday night, when he had said to her, he goes, I'm not going to sit here and try and use you and fool you into thinking that, you know, I like you in that way.
I have feelings for you, but I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that this is, you know, that Daniel Bryan is just using you. I think eventually AJ will screw Daniel Bryan over, and CM Punk will walk out the winner, and she'll move on to something else. The three of them will separate. It'll move on to something different.
I agree with you. I would go with CM Punk tonight. You know, one of the things I wonder if they'll go in that direction. I mean, well documented that CM Punk was a big Macho Man fan, added the big elbow as a tribute to Macho. I do wonder if, you know, there's a chance that in a weird way, you know, much different than what Miss Elizabeth was, but if they do something where they put AJ and Punk together for at least a short time, where she's kind of his Miss Elizabeth. I also think that, you know, when I look at marketing outside of storyline, you know, Punk, they do have the CM Punk I Did Crazy Chick shirt. And I do think that, you know, if she screws him over, you know, they're always looking at merchandise, and they're not going to come out with shirts like that by accident. So I for that reason, I lean towards Punk. I also think, you know, sometimes it's too much too soon. I like what Daniel Bryan brings to the table, but, you know, he wasn't world heavyweight champion that long ago. You know, he drops that at WrestleMania. He's this quickly going to get the WWE title. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to look at Daniel Bryan as an all-time great to go that quickly. You know, I don't know. I just don't know if he's ready to be that guy. You know, so I would go with CM Punk as well going into the match. Let's talk about, well, actually, Guru, who do you think is going to win? Punk, Daniel Bryan?
I think CM Punk will win.
We're three. It's a clean sweep right there. CM Punk will win. And we have an agreement on this show. Consistency with the title has worked well. I like seeing Punk. I like seeing a title holder holding it for a while. And with Bobby Roode dropping the TNA heavyweight champ, CM Punk, you know, is the guy in professional wrestling. He's the pinnacle. He's held the title since November. If I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
so long-standing WWE title gives some stability. And look, to me, if you're going to have a champ for this long, I have him keep the strap till SummerSlam. I mean, that's one of your big events. Why not have a, you know, a real strong WWE champ into that pay-per-view? So, you know, I would go with CM Punk in the victory. Let's get into the other Money in the Bank ladder match, and this is, you know, this is more of, I guess, if you want to say a traditional Money in the Bank ladder match, because, you know, usually you have the newer guy who's going to get the next big push. And this is, you know, the newer guys. We have Dolph Ziggler, Cody Rhodes, the reincarnation of the genius Lanny Poffo, Damian Sandow, Santino Marella, Christian, Tensai, Sin Cara, and Tyson Kidd all in this match, promising to be a very entertaining ladder match. And at this point in time, we're going to go over to thekenreedyshow.com and give you the results of our poll question. And if you didn't get in and you don't like the poll results, well then, tough. You got to go to the website and get your votes in. Here are how our fans are looking at this match. I'm going to go from bottom to top. First off, nobody on the planet, because the whole planet has been part of this show, nobody thinks Christian, Tensai, or Tyson Kidd have a prayer in hell at winning this match. All of them garner 0% of the vote, which, you know, I'm not surprised with Tensai and Tyson Kidd. I don't think Christian's going to win. I think, you know, he's going to stick around as the IC guy. Surprised he did not get any votes. Damian Sandow with 5% of the vote. Santino Marella, 10% of the vote. Cody Rhodes garners 38%. And the top guy, the guy that the Ken Reedy Show fans think is going to win, It's Dolph Ziggler with 48% of the vote. Obviously looking, Dolph and Cody, top of the food chain there. Surprising that Santino Marella actually came in third in this poll. I don't think he's going to win, but when we're talking right here, I think the three of us on the show tonight, and probably most people, are in agreement that Ziggler and Rhodes are the top guys in this match. I think there may be an outside shot at Sandow, although I would not want to see that yet at this point. Guy needs to be around for a little longer. Like what he brings to the table, not time for him to get that sort of honor. I'm thinking that in this match we'll probably have a point in time where Santino comes damn close to winning, but he doesn't because the crowd, you know, say what you want about Santino Marella. That guy's over. That guy's over big time. And not that I'm going to say I want to see it. I like Santino. Wouldn't want to see him win the WWE title or the World Heavyweight title. That being said, you know, I bet he would get an enormous pop if he ever won the big one. Don't think he's going to win the ladder match tonight. I'll start with my prediction. I'll go into who I think is going to win. And personally, I said this a while ago, taking the IC title off him, as much as storyline-wise, I lost my belt. I think it's a positive for what's going on in the back. I see everything he's doing. I like it. I'm going with Cody Rhodes. I think he's ready to take that step. He is the total package. He does everything real well. Loves Ziggler. And you know what? If there was anyone else but Cody Rhodes, I might be picking Ziggler in this match. And if Ziggler wins, I'm not going to be disappointed because I love everything that guy brings to the table. But at this point in time, my pick for this match would be Cody Rhodes. Dave?
I would agree with you on that point if I was going to pick that individual, but I'm going to have to go with Dolph Ziggler. I think he's produced countless good pay-per-view matches consistently over the course of the past year, and I'm going to have to go with Dolph Ziggler. You know, you brought up an interesting point about Santino and how he would get a big pop. If you remember, he was in the Elimination Chamber match back in February, and he was one of the final two entrants with Daniel Bryan, and it was that underdog story that they were trying to achieve with, you know, Santino being the underdog against the world champion Daniel Bryan. What's interesting about this ladder match is that there are a lot of new guys in this match, but this match I think was designed by the company to see not only to see, you know, to whoever's going to win, to see if they're going to be able to handle that big push and if they can, you know, stay in that spot, but for other guys too. I mean, this will be Damian Sandow's first pay-per-view match, and they obviously got some serious thought into him if they're going to give him enough television time, as much as he gets. But you know, Tyson Kidd, virtually out of nowhere, the guy's been on NXT and Superstars, and those shows get shown on WWE.com. He's never really been a big fixture on television in the past year or so. So this is like a big breakout performance he could have tonight. I think they put some of these guys in the match to see what kind of roles, you know, if they can handle a role like that. Even Tensai, too. Sin Cara is probably just going to flip-flop and fly around. And I think Santino's in this match because he's popular and they could tell a decent story with him in the ladder match itself. So I'm looking most forward to this match because of the idea of there's some new blood in it and what can they do in this match. So, like I said, I'm going to pick Dolph Ziggler because I think he's ready. I think Cody's ready too, but I think they can – either one of them wouldn't be a bad pick to win.
And I think that I am – booking-wise, this match opens the pay-per-view.
I would agree too.
And it'd be interesting where the pay-per-view goes from there because – match-wise, I mean, I might be looking forward to the match more than anything. I mean, it's going to be a spot fest. But I look for this match great. I think they're going to use this match as an opening bout to create suspense going forward. Whoever wins the Sheamus Del Rio match, you may have the guy, you know, at least run out with the briefcase, but then run back. They're definitely going to utilize that to garner some suspense. So I am looking for that match to open the pay-per-view. You do wonder with these guys who are going to – look, I'm not a big Sin Cara fan. However, the guy, you know, can give you some decent spots. I have no doubt that this match is going to be highly entertaining as long as they have the stupid Sin Cara lights the whole time. But I think this match is highly entertaining. You do run the risk of the WWE blowing their load with the first match. There's a lot of wrestling to come in this pay-per-view, and I'm looking forward to this match big time. It should be interesting to see how this pay-per-view unfolds. I think we talked before, Guru, you going with Cody?
I'll go Ziggler.
Ziggler.
I like Rhodes a lot. I think it's one or the other, personally. But just, you know, either one's a good choice. I'll go with Ziggler just to...
So out of the two, so we're all like in agreement of who the top two guys are in this match. It would be interesting if they throw us a curveball in this match. But this very well is definitely has a lot of potential to be the match of the night, which should be interesting if it's the first match of the night. Dave, you know Mike's here. Mike, our crew is new here. But, so he won't know, but you know what it's time for. You know what it's time for, Dave?
The Ken Reedy Show, Nod of Approval.
And those who don't know, it has come time for our program where we do the nod of approval. And the nod of approval is something that you saw in the world of wrestling this week, a match, a promo, a TV show, a moment, a guy. Something to do in wrestling where you just sat back on your recliner or on your couch and just quietly nodded to yourself and said, yeah, that worked. And that's what we give the nod of approval to. And going over to the Facebook page, Steve McMackey writes, Alberto of the River. I get it. Alberto of the River. Alberto Del Rio, for destroying Sin Cara twice, not to mention kicking Sheamus' ass at the end of SmackDown. So Alberto gets Steve McMackey's nod of approval. Ontario Hewitt tells us, my approval goes to Robert Roode. He really does have it. And our man, Tony V, the blogger extraordinaire, just plainly puts Destination X gets his nod of approval. Dave, what's your thoughts? Who gets your nod?
I've been tossing and turning this week as far as nods of approval go. I was going to give the nod of approval a tie. It's two different segments. One of my choices, which is not going to get the nod of approval this week, is the Chris Jericho-Sheamus match on SmackDown Friday. I thought it was really good. I thought it helped that Sheamus beat a guy like Jericho and helped really build him up as a credible world champion. I'd be interested in seeing a long-term rivalry with these two over the championship. But it doesn't look like we're going to see that right now. Maybe we'll see it next month after tonight's pay-per-view. But my nod of approval this week goes to Joseph Parks. The Joseph Park character has been very interesting on TNA television. To most wrestling fans, you know, to the marks, we all know, you know, at least we think we know, we hope we know, we pray we know, that Joseph Park is being played by Abyss, whose real name is Chris Parks. And the one thing I liked about the reason why I'm giving him my nod of approval is because his character, excuse me, is the character of an attorney.
You need some water?
No, I'm good. Thank you, though. I appreciate it. His character, he's an attorney. And he's got no wrestling experience. He's been put in two wrestling matches. And I like how in the past in wrestling, they've taken guys who they brought them in as characters on television, and they, you know, claim they have no wrestling experience, and they get in the ring and they look like they know what they're doing.
And it just kind of makes it look silly. But they're just his mannerisms in the ring and how he's doing things. Like, he didn't really, like, do anything extraordinary early on in the match. Like, he didn't even know how to, like, he didn't even know how to run the ropes. He didn't really know how to, like, throw a fit, like a punch or anything like that, you know, during the hardcore match. He really sold the idea that, like, he's an attorney, he's an outsider in the wrestling industry, and, like, he was in the ring and, you know, he didn't know exactly what he was doing. And then, of course, they built up the rest of the story, and I liked at the end, you know, he gave, you know, Bully Ray the black hole slam similar to Abyss, and then Bully Ray cut that promo in the back and was like, who was he? Who was that? Almost kind of foreshadowing that, you know, this Joseph Park Abyss character is one and the same. Even though most of us know that, it seems like where they're going to be going with this further down the line. But I just kind of liked it. Like, he was afraid to do certain things in the ring, and like I said, he didn't know how to run the ropes, and, you know, he really sold that, like, he wasn't a wrestler. He was just a regular Joe that got himself into a whole heap of trouble with a trained professional. So Joseph Park this week gets my nod of approval.
That's all right. You brought up a lot of good points with that. And you know, it does point out that, you know, there's a lot of talent in one Mr. Abyss, because he did sell looking like he didn't know what the hell he was doing. It was very believable that he was an attorney. And that really, you know, spawned Dave. Excellent points. And it's been a very interesting storyline, and it was a great opening to Impact because, like I said earlier, you know, when any sort of TV show, entertainment, venue, a show, if you're in a band, you know, that first song, you want to grab you by the cojones and kind of bring you in. That first, even, you know, the first match. A TV show, wrestling show, you want that first match, and that Joseph Parks, Bully Ray match, grabbed you by the cojones to start off Impact, and a great nod. Before I get to my nod of approval, just some more breaking news, you know, as if it mattered, but we'd like to see tag wrestling matter again at some point. But tonight's championship match, the tag team champs have retained the title. The pre-show match, the tag championship match, Kofi Kingston and R-Truth retain the tag team championship. R-Truth gets the pin. So some breaking news there heading into the pay-per-view. My nod of approval this week, and I'll be honest with you, because it's a segment on the show, and, you know, we have to come up with something every week. Like, once you have a segment, you got to come up with something. So I'm going to be honest with our listeners. There's not always a moment where I'm actually sitting there nodding to myself. I know you might be shocked, and I'm kind of like pulling the curtain away to show you the inner workings of the Ken Reedy Show, but it's not always the case. But this week, it did actually happen, and I just said to myself, you know, there's a lot of good stuff, but collectively I had to give this my nod of approval, and my nod of approval is going to Taz and Mike Tenay. And it's as much of as good as they're doing commentating matches, as bad as the WWE has been. You know, that they Tenay and Taz do a really good job at calling matches. They call the moves. Hey, you know, why not? They actually, you know, reference the moves. You know, they're not talking about the pay-per-view or the headline match or some other storyline during the match they're supposed to be calling. They're actually calling that match. They help facilitate the storyline. You know, Angle Anderson was a great match, but, you know, Taz is referencing Angle's neck problems. So a move that, you know, may not have looked as devastating on TV as you're watching it, as soon as Angle hits the canvas, saying, well, Angle has that history of neck problems and being dropped on the back like that. Could definitely serve, you know, to have to give Angle some problems. You know, it just it facilitates the action. It makes the action work. You cannot overstate what a commentator can bring to or detract from a match. And JR was brilliant at it. But, you know, to watch a match on the, you know, and I shouldn't be comparing in the not approval, but whatever, I am. But to watch a match on WWE TV and just, you know, there's no reference to the move. There's no reference to past history. No reference to the body part that's being injured. It, all you hear is, whoa, 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 oh my goodness. Seriously? Like, that's what you're giving me? And it's sad. Because it is, you know, it is sad. Because right now, I know when I was a kid watching wrestling that you asked me what a Boston Crab was, what a figure four leg lock was, what a Russian leg sweep was. I knew what they were because the announcers of the time called the moves. They called the matches. I would venture to say that any kid is growing up purely watching WWE wrestling. If you, they know the finishers. They know what a bro kick is. They know what that is. You know, they know what the AA is. But when you want to ask them what wrestling moves are, I bet they don't have a clue. But Taz and Mike Tenay continue to call good matches. And Taz, and I would have been critical of him when he was in the WWE, and I don't know if it's a training thing or how they tell the commentators to call matches, but I, you know, Taz has improved vastly. Maybe it's just being like Tenay. But those two know how to call a match, and I just found myself, honestly, at the end of Impact, quite literally, nodding and smiling like these guys are calling matches the way they need to be called. Make if the match, if the headlining match, as if you've done your job storyline wise, you don't need to talk about it earlier in matches. It'll stand on itself. Make each match important in and of itself, and the commentating is so important to doing that. And the WWE has the talent to do that because we spoke on this show about Michael Cole doing a good job during the Cena-Brock Lesnar match, maybe the match of his career calling that match, but he doesn't do it, you know, each and every week, and it tracks a lot. So long-winded as it was, my nod of approval this week goes to Mike Tenay and Taz for their commentating on Impact Wrestling. And look at that. TNA Wrestling gets a clean sweep of the nods of approval this week, and there you have it.
The Ken Reedy Show, nod of approval.
There we got a little over 2 minutes remaining in the show. Guru, it was a pleasure having you sit in. You know, just before we go, and I kind of hit on, you know, commentating, and I know you're a big buff on the history, and just to keep it going with the nod, your thoughts on commentating of yesteryear?
I think, you know, I grew up listening to Gordon Solie, and yeah, that's how I learned every move, and I couldn't agree more. A lot of these announcers should really, you know, watch some old wrestling tapes of the great Gordon Solie commentating and calling a match, and I think they could learn a thing or two.
Agreed. And, you know, it's, you know, again, I don't know if it's they don't have the talent to do. I don't think Booker T has the talent. Scratch that. Booker T doesn't have the talent. Booker T needs to not call matches. Michael Cole might actually have the talent to call a decent match. So it might just be systemic. It might be policy in the company, but it just doesn't work. Dave, are you ready for Money in the Bank?
I am ready. In fact, I just got some breaking news. I'm just reading now on WrestleZone.com that the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank ladder match is expected to start the show. CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan is expected to close the show. And also an unadvertised match for tonight's pay-per-view is expected to take place between Primo and Epico versus the primetime players, Darren Young and Titus O'Neil.
Wow. This pay-per-view is going to kick ass, man. I am so...
And I forgot, WrestleZone has confirmed through sources that The Miz will be added to tonight's Money in the Bank Championship ladder match, so that has been confirmed. However...
No! No, God.
Cena
no,
expected to still go over.
Son of a. Gah!
Rather see Brian Blair at retirement than this.
Thank you all for tuning in. You've tuned in to the Ken Reedy Show. Remember, next week we will not be going on Sunday. We'll be going Monday, 9, 6 to 8 p.m. A special Raw pregame show for the 1,000th episode of Monday Night. Now, we're trying to get some guests for the show. So tune in next week for Dave and the Guru. I am Ken Reedy. Thank you. It's time for Money in the Bank.